Thanks so much for being with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, going to take a look at your skin. It can be an indicator of your health and your age. What should we be doing to take care of it? Our guest dermatologist, Dr. Apple Bodemer, joins us today to share some tips for taking care of your skin during this time of the year. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Dermatology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and directs the Integrative Dermatology Clinic, which offers a healthcare approach for dermatology, dermatologic conditions. And Dr. Bodemer, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
It's so funny. I was in, where was I? I think it was a social situation. Anyway, we're having a drink, and this woman looks down at her hands, and she said, "Oh, I have my grandmother's hands." She said, it was like she suddenly thought, she said, "Look at my hands, they've aged."
Yeah, and the hands are a really good indicator of actual age because people forget to take care of their hands. They're usually much more conscious of their face. You know, the neck is another place where people forget to put the sunscreen there, and they forget to moisturize and all of that.
So as a dermatologist, what does aging mean to you, kind of?
Well, I mean, overall, aging really is of changes that occur over a lifetime. And, you know, when we're talking about the skin, what we see, the intrinsic signs of aging, which are really just the effects of time and genetics, so gravity, those kinds of things. Skin over time just loses elasticity. It loses its resilience, and you'll start to get sagging. Wrinkling occurs as changes to the facial musculature affect the surface parts of the skin. And you'll get more blotchy complexion because as the skin thins, you'll start to see blood vessels that are underneath. They become closer to the surface.
Okay.
When we talk about extrinsic aging, so that's the aging, the part about aging that we can do something about. That's what's influenced by our lifestyle. And when it comes to the skin, really photoaging is the number one culprit in the extrinsic component of aging. And then with smoking coming a close second.
So, and that's sun? Is that?
Yeah, photoaging is sun exposure. I like to talk about as UV radiation because I feel like that makes it really, really that's what it is. And we are exposing ourselves to the ultraviolet radiation wavelengths when we're out in the sun.
You know, you mentioned wrinkles. What makes us wrinkle? What causes that?
Yeah, there are a lot of things that happen to the skin. One of the things I talked about is the facial musculature. That changes over time. And kind of the interesting thing about that, I don't know, people may have had a grandparent or a parent say, if you make that face one more time, it's going to stick. Well, it doesn't really happen that fast, but there is some truth to that, that when we make repetitive facial expressions and use our facial muscles in very specific ways over long periods of time, that changes the musculature. Just as if we're, you know, doing bicep curls, our biceps will get bigger. And that can affect the way the overlying skin looks and gives rise to wrinkling. The other thing that happens is as we age, there's a natural decrease in some of the subcutaneous tissues or the tissues that support the skin. But then photoaging, that UV radiation part, also causes breakdown of the elastic tissues and the collagen, which all support the skin. And as those break down, we're more prone to wrinkling because we just don't have as much support.
And what about all these creams? I mean, there must be a million, not a million creams. Maybe there are a million creams.
I bet probably 2 million.
out there that supposedly will help take away those wrinkles.
Yeah. There's a lot of different things on the market. There are also a handful of prescription products that you can talk to a healthcare provider in order to get that help with some of the signs of photoaging and aging. You know, one of the common ones we see is called retinol, and it's in the retinoid family. So retinol is the over-the-counter version, and there are some prescription retinoids, including tretinoin or Retin-A, aldapalene, and tazarotene. Those are the three main ones, and they can be very helpful. The problem with over-the-counter anti-aging products is they're not regulated at all. They're not classified as drugs. They don't have to prove effectiveness necessarily. Because they are able to be marketed, however, the companies wish, they don't have to list concentration, and so you're not really necessarily sure about what you're getting and how effective it's going to be for you. You know, if your concerns are fine lines and wrinkling, I mean, I think my kind of three mainstays about that are make sure you're wearing sunscreen regularly from an early age. So, you know, if we have any younger listeners, like now is the time, and it's never too late to start. But that is the first thing that will help minimize the appearance of wrinkling and brown spots, making sure you're moisturizing regularly, because as we age, our skin loses its ability to maintain moisture. And as that happens, when the skin gets dried out, it's more prone to the fine lines and wrinkles. And if we can plump that skin up by just maintaining adequate skin hydration, mm-hmm. that helps minimize the appearance of those as well. And then certainly, absolutely do not smoke. Smoking is a huge accelerator of wrinkling. And, you know, you'll see a very specific perpendicular wrinkles around the mouth, really deep grooves. And you also see it around the eyes, the corner of the eyes. That's a really clear indicator of a smoker.
We have Lynn in Coloma with a question for you. So let's go there. Lynn, hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, talk about aging and photo sun things. I have been using Carac, C-A-R-A-C, cream, and I've applied it now. This is my fourth time, and my doctor tells me, well, this will take care of the, sun damage on your hands and your forearms, which are basically, you know, I was born in the 50s. There was no sunscreen.
Yeah.
Like, you look a little red, put a T-shirt on.
Right.
And you're helping children learn to swim. You're helping children water ski. So I've got this damage on my forearms. I had a horrible reaction to it this last time, and this is the fourth time I've used it. I mean, it's always a bad reaction, but this time, I mean, it was, like, over the top. And, you know, welts and blistering and bleeding.
Oh.
Just terrible. And they say that you have to use it for 2 weeks. Well, after 4 days, I mean, I just quit because I thought, well, this is going nowhere.
Yeah. Well, what about, does
Any
that happen?
Ideas about what to do for this?
Yeah. So what she's talking about is actually prescription topical. It's basically a topical chemotherapeutic agent. And we use it a lot for clearing up precancerous lesions on the face and arms and hands. It also helps reverse the signs of photoaging. So you're using it in a very appropriate way. It sounds to me, if this is something you've done, and this is something you typically apply once or twice a day over the course of 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the amount of sun damage that you have and the specific concerns. It sounds like you may have had an allergic reaction. If this is your fourth time going through this treatment and you tolerated it very well in the past, you know, that's very likely. Certainly people who are using it for the first time and have a lot of UV damage can have this kind of really brisk reaction. The hives are a little different, though. The hives make me suspect more of an allergic type reaction. And so it would be something that I would stop using. And, you know, if you need to use a potentially a little bit of over-the-counter hydrocortisone to help calm the inflammation that's down, or just wait it out. Use a bland moisturizer, like a Vaseline ointment or something really bland to help make things more comfortable as you heal.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Sarah in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering, is there anything I can put on my face so I do not turn bright red? You see, I have bipolar disorder, so I am on psychiatric medication. Mm-hmm. And when I go outside, even though I have sunscreen with a high SPF, my face turns bright red. Even if I'm in the shade or it's a cloudy day, I just look horrible. And my skin does not return to a normal color until I return to be indoors. So, and
Okay.
Yeah, so one of the questions I have is this heat related. Do you notice this happening when you go outdoors on cool days?
Yeah, I mowed the lawn yesterday and I turned bright red. It wasn't that, you know, it was kind of cool out here.
Yeah.
But it is, you do have a point. It is worse when it's warmer.
Yeah. So with this, you know, I would really try to maybe find a hat that has, you know, they have some hats out there that have face kind of shields, things that kind of come over your head a little bit. That would be more in the specialty UV protective hat kind of category, and you might have to look online for something like that. But, you know, they have ones that have kind of the safari hat that have a shield that goes down, or like a sheet that goes down over the back of your neck. But you can also find them maybe that have some netting over the front, or even just trying just a wide-brimmed
hat.
Or a brim. Yeah, just a plain wide-brimmed hat might be more effective than the sunscreen. You may also be having a reaction to the sunscreen. So sunscreens that have chemical blockers in them tend to create some heat as the UV radiation is absorbed. And so it's not uncommon for people to feel a little bit hot when they're out in the sun with the sunscreen on. and you're, you know, for whatever reason, the medications you might be taking may be causing that to be enhanced and more prominent.
So those sunscreens, the ones that are clear, how do they work?
Well, so there's two different types of main ingredients in sunscreen. There's physical blockers, which are the zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, and then there's chemical blockers. And the chemical blockers, there's a large number of them. Most of them do their best protection in the UVB range of radiation, and there are a few that also have UVA protection. And when you're using a physical blocker, basically you've got a coating on your skin, and the UV radiation is deflected off of that. With the chemical blockers, the UV radiation is absorbed into the chemical compound
itself,
and it dissipates as heat. Yeah.
Okay, so that's how it works. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever asked you that before. I'm glad to know that. Sarah, by the way, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. Good luck. And Ken, Kenneth in Janesville, we'll get to you. We need to take a quick look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with Dr. Apple Bodemer, dermatologist with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Talking today about your skin and about how aging affects our skin and how you can slow down the process, and a whole bunch of other issues relating to our skin. Our guest today, Dr. Apple Bodemer, dermatologist, assistant professor in the Department of Dermatology at UW-Madison, Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much to her, and thank you for joining in. Call in at 1-800-642-1234 with your own question. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page. Love to hear from you. Chris from Wisconsin Dells says likes coconut oil to help heal skin. Does coconut oil have healing properties?
Well, really anything that helps moisturize. I love coconut oil too. It's nice and thick. If you do have skin conditions like eczema or even psoriasis, it has some anti-inflammatory properties and antimicrobial properties. So it is a really great option as a moisturizer.
Here's Kenneth from Janesville with something for
Hello.
Us. Hi, Kenneth.
Hi. I'm a Viking white, I call myself. And I wonder what age spots are. They're dark brown on my hands.
Understood.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things that can cause brown spots. In particular, most people, when they have brown spots on the hand, the most common is probably solar lentigos. And those are just flat. They look like they're part of the skin. They can range from light tan to brown to dark brown. They tend to be fairly uniform in color, and are present on sun-exposed skin, can come from either natural sun or from tanning beds. The other thing that we see commonly on the skin that people refer to as age spots are called seborrheic keratoses. And these can be flat, or they can be raised up and have more of a warty appearance. They can be a little bit crumbly and you may be able to scrape them off after a bath or shower. They are completely related to age and genetics and don't have any relationship to UV radiation exposure.
So they're not cancer-causing,
no.
Usually?
No.
Or ever? Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Thanks, Kenneth. Jerry and Shell Lake, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I was wondering about wearing an old white dress shirt in the garden just to deflect sun from my back and stuff, or even wearing two shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Be effective at all?
Yeah. Well, so one thing that I like to tell patients is if you can hold the fabric up to the light and you can see light coming through it, that's the amount of UV radiation that's also coming through it. So a thin white dress shirt is not going to give you a whole lot. We do know that a white cotton t-shirt can give you a SPF protection of about 7 or so, and once it gets wet, whether it's from swimming or sweating, that drops to about a 3. So it's not super effective. Mm-hmm. A darker color, even in a very loose weave, will be more effective. So a dark blue cotton shirt might have an SPF of about 18. A thicker weave is more effective, certainly. So denim, again, a white denim has an SPF of about 12, whereas a dark blue denim has an SPF of about 166 is what the studies have shown. And once the fabric gets wet, that kind of drops, as we saw with the white t-shirt example. There are UPF clothing. So they have a UPF, which is ultraviolet protection factor. You want to look for a UPF of 50. Rash guard really doesn't mean it protects you from the sun, but that UPF rating tells you that it will allow only 1/50th of the UV radiation to get through that fabric, regardless of whether it gets wet or not, regardless of what color it is or how tightly it's woven.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to invest in something like that. You can get, you know, a single overshirt and just use it for gardening.
Yeah.
And also, if I may, there's 1,000 various products for about $1 or $2 of oil that you put on. Now, they're all chemicals and artificial this and that. Are they, do you want them on your skin going in to your skin, you know?
Oh, yeah. So, I personally prefer, if you're going to use oil, use food grade oils. So get your oils for your skin at the grocery store, and mm-hmm. you know, that's what I use on my skin and my kids' skin. There, like you said, there's an innumerable number of products out there, and I think simple is always better. So kind of like I recommend for just basic nutrition and health, diet wise, like look at the ingredient list. It should be, you know, shorter is better in my book, but there are also some really good quality products that you know, have more ingredients in them that still can be effective.
So you'd say like a vegetable oil or something?
Yeah, you certainly could use a vegetable oil. I really love apricot kernel oil for the face. It's mm-hmm. the lightest of all the oils, and it gets absorbed pretty well. It works really well for a lot of my patients who have acne even. And, you know, almond oil, coconut oil, like we talked about, avocado oil is really luxurious, especially for winter. There are a lot of them out there. There's other kind of non-food grade oils as well, like jojoba oil and Moroccan oil, things like that that are marketed for skin. But my mainstay is coconut oil, almond oil, and apricot kernel oil.
Very informative. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And we have Pat in Duluth, Minnesota next. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I had a squamous cell carcinoma removed about 3 weeks ago. The stitches were taken out last week, and, since I have this bandage on my face, I've been telling people what it is. And I've heard from at least two people that a drug that I'm taking, which is a mild diuretic called hydrocortithiazide, I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just starting to wonder now, when I started taking that drug, I had a really bad rash. And now after the surgery, that same rash has come onto my face. I'm meeting with my dermatologist on Thursday, and I'm going to ask her this too. But is that drug known to make the skin more sensitive to the sun? And is there an alternative? And I don't know if you have an answer for that.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with the diuretics very well. That's kind of outside of my realm of expertise. If the rash is localized just to the face, I would be less suspicious of the drug causing it. If it's really in the area where you had the squamous cell cancer, the adhesives from bandages are much, much more likely.
Okay.
And, and that will, when, if your stitches are out, I'm not sure whatever your dermatologist is recommending about keeping a bandage on, but you can use a little bit of hydrocortisone, just the over-the-counter 0.5% or 1% to try to calm that down if that's what's going on.
Yeah, there we go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Ray in Rhinelander wants to know the effects of a couple of things, one, spray tans, and the other, tanning beds.
Yeah, so tanning beds are now categorized as a known human carcinogen. They dramatically increase the risk of skin cancer. There have been studies that estimate that that people get more skin cancer from tanning beds than get lung cancer from smoking.
Whoa.
So the tanning beds are a really significant cause of skin cancer. The other part about it greatly accelerates the aging process. So while you're young and you might want to look tan and kind of have that quote healthy glow, it really, by the time you're in your mid to late 30s, you'll start seeing the effects of that aren't so great. And the other part of the aging piece of this is, if you have a big scar on your face from a skin cancer removal in your 40s because you've been a regular tanner, that doesn't make you look any younger. So I am not a fan of the tanning beds. The spray tans and self-tanners, I think, are a really good option. The question I get a lot is, well, what about those chemicals? Are those, better or worse? So if you're trying to weigh which one is better or worse, certainly, hands down, the tanning beds are the worst. If you feel like you really want to look tan, stick to those self-tanners. The The main component of the self-tanners, or the main compound that they find in those, is dihydroxyacetone. And that is a pretty safe chemical. There are some potential concerns about it being inhaled. So if you're going into a spray tan booth and you're having it sprayed all over and you inhale it into your lungs, there's some question that might not be so great for you, and you know, it makes sense that wouldn't be. So if you're going to do that, maybe wear a mask or try to protect that part of your face as best you can. There have been no associations with anything harmful from topical dihydroxyacetone, so applying it in a cream or a lotion seems like it's very safe. It actually is interesting. It interacts with the amino acids on the top layer of the skin and causes this reaction called the browning reaction, which is what we see when we bake bread and grill meat. So it's kind of the same thing that's happening there. I do want to stress that it does not protect you from UV radiation. So while your skin may be brown, you aren't getting any benefit, or you're not getting any protection, so you still need to use sunscreens. It may actually make you more prone to UV damage because people think, well, I'm tan, I don't need to use my sunscreen. But
you do.
Mm-hmm, you do.
Okay. Sean emailed to say that he's had psoriasis for 30 years, 45% coverage. He's completing UV regimen and using clobetasol, I believe it is. It's almost gone. He says his psoriasis, will it come back, is what he wondered.
Yeah, psoriasis is a tough one. This is a chronic condition, and it's something that we manage. We can never cure it, and so it tends to come up during times of stress. People tend to experience flares. If there are rapid changes in weight, either gain or loss, that can also cause flares. We tend to see some, you know, more commonly with other things, like if people are alcoholics, they tend to have more troubles with flares. But it's not something we're ever going to be able to get rid of for you. We can just help you manage it. And there may have long periods of remission before it comes back. And, you know, you may be somebody that doesn't and needs constant attention to the skin for it.
So you don't, it's not necessarily you have to have a preventive on. But if it comes back, then you treat again, or do you do a preventive?
Well, so, yeah, in a sense, that my prevention for psoriatic flares is really good moisturization all the time, limiting hot water bathing, limiting your showers to no more than baths to no more than 5 to 10 minutes, and using a really good quality thick cream or ointment on the skin. So if you can keep your skin well hydrated, well moisturized, it's less likely to get itchy. And with psoriasis, there's this kind of interesting, cool thing that happens where if you damage the skin, the psoriasis will show up there. So if your skin gets dry and is even just itchy, like normal dry, itchy skin, and you start scratching it, the psoriasis can pop up there. So from my standpoint, the prevention is just basic, really good skincare, and that can go a long way to minimizing flares and preventing them.
Let's turn to Jerry in Milwaukee next. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Maybe you've possibly touched on this a little bit right before this last subject you talked about. For a person, let's say I'm outside, I finish a lot of concrete all summer long and we get brown, really brown. If you use sunscreen all the time, does that also keep you from developing a tan? And if you want to develop a tan, is there a different product a person should use to, you know, keep your skin from getting damaged but yet still tan?
So tan skin equals UV damaged skin. So there is, unless you're using a sunless tanner or the self-tanners. So if you're really wanting to look tan, I would encourage you to explore the sunless tanner category of personal care products. Sunscreen, even regular use, will not prevent you from getting tan or won't completely block out UV radiation, partly because people don't apply it correctly and they don't apply enough. If you're out in the sun working all day long, you're going to be sweating off any sunscreen that you put on. Even if you're not sweating it off, sunscreen does need to be reapplied every 2 hours. And most people don't apply enough. It should be about an ounce to cover an adult's full body. So if you're in a bathing suit, an ounce or the amount that you find in a shot glass should cover your whole body. Another rule of thumb is a palmful to cover whole body. And that kind of applies to little kids as well. If you have a small child, just fill their palm with the sunscreen and use that to apply. So that's kind of, and then reapplying every 2 hours. If you really want to protect yourself from that UV damage and you're an outdoor worker, I really recommend those UPF 50 rated clothing. And there's lots of them out there. You can find them all over the internet, places like REI or other outdoor sports places. You know, Target even carries some as well. So
that really helps.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not having to apply stuff every couple hours.
And it's not running off, it's not rubbing off, and you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
So is it best not to get tanned at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, in terms of your skin health, yes, tan skin, as I mentioned, is UV damaged skin.
Yeah. And Dr. Bodimer is not tanned.
I'm translucent. I'm so pale that I couldn't tan if I wanted to.
There we go. Thanks, Jerry, for calling. I appreciate it. Jack in Dunn, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Larry. I have a question. I have actinic keratosis and on my scalp, at the top of my head and forehead, but on my scalp, I get a lot of itchy stuff, and I'm wondering, shampoos like stuff that has the anti-itch in it, does that hurt the keratosis, or like 1% hydrocortisone cream? Can I put that on my scalp too, or does that exacerbate the actinic keratosis?
Yeah, and that's a good question. So actinic keratoses are precancerous lesions that come from UV radiation over a lifetime. And when people are, have thinner hair on the top, that becomes more of a problem. If you're really having a lot of problems with itching, the one thing I would wonder is if you have a component of dandruff, and if you might really benefit from an anti-dandruff shampoo. I really like to think of these more as scalp treatments rather than a shampoo because, I mean, if you don't have a lot of hair up there, that kind of takes it away. But a lot of people put it on the hair and don't really get it on the scalp to help with the itching. If that's not the case for you, a little bit of over-the-counter hydrocortisone is probably not going to – it's not going to have a huge impact on the actinic keratoses. With actinic keratoses, it's kind of estimated somewhere between 10 and 20% actually go on to become cancerous. So it's a relatively low percentage, but we can't predict when they do. And they tend to grow slowly. So it is something that I'd really encourage you to make sure you've got a dermatologist and you're managing that part of it carefully so that you don't get into trouble. Some signs that actinic keratosis might be kind of on the more dangerous side are if it starts to bleed on its own without you picking at it, or if it gets tender without you picking at it. Those are two things that as a dermatologist, I would want to know about right away if you're my patient.
What about the active ingredients in the shampoos for that itching? What would you suggest I read in the label looking for as an active ingredient?
So for the seborrheic dermatitis, you would look for ketoconazole, selenium sulfide, zinc, tar. Those are all really good ones to look for.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Rick in Portage. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
A couple of things. I developed a rash on my upper body a couple of years ago. It's like almost like an acne. And it gets in my hairline in the back of my head and around my chest and top of my back. It seems to be worse by sweat.
Okay.
Any ideas on something like that?
I mean, it sounds like it could be a folliculitis, which is inflammation of hair follicles, and sometimes bacteria can be involved. Oh. Often the bacteria are involved, and so without seeing it, suggesting like an antibacterial wash to the area, sometimes prescription topical antibiotics can be helpful for folliculitis.
Okay.
And worth a look. Thanks, Rick. And Eric in Waukesha, hello to you.
Hello. Fascinating topic. I have a question, and then I just thought of another one. Everyone I know that smokes, their skin looks aged.
Yeah.
And the first question I had was, why is it? What is it about smoking? Is it the internal taking of the smoke? Is it the kind of areas they hang out? And then my second question, third, is it reversible? And the third question was, is this something that happens to people who undergo, for example, chemotherapy? Kind of a related thing to smoking.
In terms of the smoking causes narrowing of the blood vessels close to the surface of the skin. So you limit your ability to hydrate the skin and you dry it out. Smoking, the compounds in cigarette smoke also cause damage to the collagen and elastin, which are the structures underneath the skin that help support the skin and give it strength and elasticity. So those start to break down. There's a lot of things that happen with cigarette smoke, but it also can kind of dull the complexion. People will get staining of nicotine sometimes around the mouth, especially where the cigarette smoke is. It is kind of what happens locally on the surface of the skin, but also to the tissues and supporting structures underneath the skin. In terms of chemotherapy, not as much. I think that it's a really different process than the smoking, because you don't have those carcinogens so close to the surface of the skin when you're doing undergoing chemo, and you're not, you know, inhaling it and having it in your mouth and around the face as much. So, you know, I think certainly chemo can accelerate the appearance of aging, but there's a lot of different factors. You know, a lot of people aren't able to eat as much, and they, you know, lose subcutaneous fat, and all of those things play a role as well.
Stephen Fitchburg, we turn to you next. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks. I'm 60, and I've got really dark circles under my eyes, and that's what bugs me most about my skin, and I'm wondering if there's anything to do for that.
Yeah, so there's several different things that can lead to dark circles under the eyes, and it is a frustrating thing to struggle with. First of all, genetics does play a role. If you're fair-skinned or have thin skin, you'll know blood vessels will kind of dilate more in this area. You'll get blood pooling more easily there, and what you'll notice is it'll have kind of a bluish purple hue to it. If that's the case, you know, you can try elevating the head a little bit, maybe adding an extra pillow, using cool compresses, and then there are some creams with arnica, grapeseed oil, or tea extract that might be helpful. Again, there's not a lot of studies supporting, not a good study supporting this. Also, just aging itself, the breakdown of collagen that I've talked about before allows those blood vessels to be more prominent, and we also see sinking in of the skin underneath the eyes, so you get more hollow area under the eyes, and that causes shadowing, and so that alone can make the eyes appear really dark. That's really greatly accelerated by UV radiation exposure, and in that case, making sure you're wearing a sunscreen regularly, and you know, and then doing what you can. There are cosmetic things that you can do to try to fade some or to help with some of the shadowing that occurs. And then finally, probably the most common cause for dark circles under the eyes are inflammation of the skin around the eyes. So allergies, when people are rubbing their eyes a lot, eczema, contact dermatitis, either allergic or irritant from things they might be putting on their skin or being exposed to in the air. These cause inflammatory mediators to be released that cause swelling and leaking of the blood vessels. So you'll get more kind of fluid, the puffiness around the eye, and it usually leads to chronic rubbing. And when we have chronically inflamed skin, we get something called post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. And what that basically means is that after the skin has been inflamed, it's sort of, you get left with this kind of purplish, brownish discoloration. Okay. So that's how it would look different from the vascular part of it. And in that case, really trying to make sure you're managing your allergies or your eczema, making sure that you're using, really being really careful with the personal care products you are putting around on your face. Maybe taking over-the-counter antihistamines if you find that you've got really itchy eyes and you're rubbing them a lot.
Steve, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. In our last 30 seconds, any final tips?
I think if I have to say one thing is wear sunscreen, don't smoke, and moisturize regularly. And those, out of everything, are probably the most important things you can do over a lifetime that will help you out.
And moisturize with...
Well, there's a lot of different options out there. I love, like I've mentioned before, the food-grade oil. So apricot kernel oil is my favorite for facial moisturizing. But there are a lot of really good ones out there. I think one thing, I'm not sure if we can do this. I came up with a list of sunscreens that I like, including one, a gluten-free option, and a tinted sunscreen. And I'm wondering if we can post that on the Facebook page.
We definitely will post that on our Facebook page. Thank you so much. And you'll come back and be with us again?
I would love to.
All right. Wonderful to have her back. Dr. Apple Bodemer, dermatologist with the University of Wisconsin Hospitals. She's in the Department of Dermatology, of course, directs the Integrative Dermatology Clinic. Great to have her along. Tomorrow, three outdoor writers are going to be visiting with us for the whole program. Stay with us.